Just wave your hands at the back if you can't hear me. We were married in this place 20 years ago, but when we left actually 3 years ago, the place has been burnt down. So it's wonderful to see this new place, which is even bigger and more beautiful than the previous hall. So we're very glad to be with you. Can you hear me?
Well, yes,
if
you didn't get married
anymore,
you have a reception.
Okay. We had a lovely reception and food and cake here in the hall, which is mine as well. So we're just going to share a bit about what we've been doing over the last few years in Chile. As you can see, we went out to Chile in 2005. For the first two terms, we were at the three-year terms, up 3 years, back to 6 months. And the last two times we're back, we're here in Chile. So the first two terms, we arrived at, and I was half my time was supporting a pastor, a vicar in Neche, Chile vicar, and I arrived and I was given a youth group. I had no experience, but here's a youth group, get on with it. So that was my introduction to missionary life, and we were involved in preaching, pastoral visits, teaching Bible courses. So half my time, it's like a sort of curiously working under the vicar at the church. And also coordinating their ministry, so Bible training for all people across the region in Chile. We were down to, in the fifth region by the coast, and about a dozen Anglican churches there. Some of them, you may have heard people like David Pitches and Brian Skinner, who are bishops, and involved lots of church planting in the 70s and 80s. And at the end, the vicar went a bit early, he had suffered from depression, and I was left holding the baby, so to speak. But we worked hard, and we managed for the first time to leave the church in good hands, so they could pay for a Chilean pastor full time, and now it's doing well 6 years later. There's a passage from the New Testament, which I've been thinking about a lot over the last few months. I'll just read it to you quickly, because it seems to me that it sums up a bit of missionary work, and this is about the Apostle Paul. They said Paul, on his first missionary journey, they preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and in prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they put their trust. And it seems to me that here, Paul had three areas of work that he was doing when he was visiting and planting churches. The first one was to get out and preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that people can be restored into relationship with him. And then when that was happened, he spent time perfecting the saints, that's discipling them so they could grow in their faith. And then eventually they chose leaders, they trained up leaders, and that involved leading churches that were planted. And this is not a plan that we had, but a lot of what we've been doing has fallen into these three categories. So we'd just like to share a bit about what we've been doing over the last 6 years and going through these different areas. So our second two terms, from 2012 to 2018, we were involved in planting a church called La Iglesia Pablo Apostol, the Church of Paul the Apostle. This wasn't something that was on our horizon, but the bishop said, in Valparaiso, which is the main city of some 300,000 people. Some of you may have visited there. If you do go to Chile, you're lucky enough to go on a cruise down the south of Chile. Often they start here in Valparaiso, which is quite a unique city with 42 different hills. And this is where the gospel arrived in Chile, where the first churches were, and there's still a big church, but there's no longer any Anglican churches there. And so the bishop asked us if we'd like to plant a church there, and so we planned that and we started in 2012. And of course when you start, we started with 12 people, so you have to get out and about and share the good news with other people. And I won't tell you everyone's stories, but a couple on the left were a couple who became Christians through an Alpha course in our first year in 2013 I think. They were from the school where both my boys were at. That's a bit about the couple on the right, because they became Christians at the end of 2017. She's from a nominal Catholic background, a single mum who'd been in an abusive relationship and had left. And she had no faith, went to church once in a while, and she heard the gospel message, and just was bowled over when she first started reading the Bible and finding out how much God loved her and how much His grace could transform her life. And on the same course that I did with them, we went to the Gospel of Mark together with about half a dozen young people who were exploring their faith. She met the gentleman on her left, who comes from a very different background. He comes from a sect that was in Santiago. He's a very smart cookie. He's got a PhD in biology. And he had lots of questions about what he'd been taught, which didn't seem to match up with scripture. And so he was also exploring. And they met on this course together, and they both became Christians. And last year they really got stuck into 3 Bible courses and grew lots in their faith and were confirmed. And the last thing that we did before leaving Chile, we left on the 2nd of January. On the 29th of December, I led a service, an engagement service. So I had to preach and they exchanged rings and they're going to get married later this year. So that's a bit about sort of sharing the gospel with other people. That's a picture. That picture there was our first Sunday. We were just meeting in the foyer of another church, and there were a dozen, a couple of visitors from another church. And then this is a picture probably from our second year. We're sitting in our coffee shop, and the group has grown a bit. And now, to tell you a bit more about discipleship, I'm going to pass over to HM.
Well, good evening. Hope you can hear me from here. Just passing and here saying, perfecting the saints. I just want to read you a quote I found from Oswald Chambers, a Scottish evangelist, who says the following: God has only one intended destiny for mankind, holiness. His goal is to produce saints. God is not some eternal blessing machine for people to use, and He did not come to save us out of pity. He came to save us because He created us to be holy. And if we truly love God, we will commit to making holiness the primary purpose of our lives. What we did in Valparaiso, or at least we tried to do, was precisely that, be facilitators in the perfecting of the saints. The saints, the people that having known Jesus, wanted to know more about Him, and wanted to serve and reach others. The people in this life are very close to us. We develop a very close relationship with every single one of them. The 3 girls there have been discipleships with me, and later on kind of got more training, more formal training. And they're still wanting to go and serve and spend more time reading their Bibles and getting to know more about God and sharing with others. Especially the first couple, Rebecca and Gabriel, they were from the very beginning in this church plant, and we had spent a lot of time with them, sharing lives, stories, being accountable one another, and then training them when they became a full-time apprentices in a church. And then later on, we were able to do also premarital counseling, and Daniel married them, and just before we came back, he baptized their first child. They also went to a Bible college, and having finished it, they have come back now to Valparaiso, where they are going to be planting a new church in one of the last hills of the port, Playa Ancha. So he's really kind of a church planting curate. And this is one of the great blessings that we have been given by God, seeing how these young people have decided to stay in the port and invest their lives to reach others and to use their talents and their time to be able to just serve our Lord and see the church grow, which is a real blessing to us. These photos, as you can see, are children, one quite little over there. That was one of the first weddings that Daniel performed. In fact, the first wedding for our church, where the couple, Evelyn and Rodrigo, the little baby, that was the first couple from our church that got married. I met Emily when I first arrived in Chile, and she was the first person I discipled. She was still in uniform because she was just turning 17. And she, I mean, we did as well premarital counseling. Then I married them, and they've been with us all this time. So that has been a great, great relationship to have. And what we just were talking about that yesterday, I think, is that we became really good friends with their parents, but also with their children. Well, pretty much moved them, so that was very nice. Now, as you can see, our children were quite young there. You can see that at the back, they are not so small anymore. And Daniel and I have also grown wiser, I hope. So, I just wanted to emphasize that all these people that we have been able to share more about God and to train, their primary focus on their life has been to become more knowledgeable of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to use them in a partnership to reach and serve others to the gospel and all for the glory of God. Now, 13 years in Chile have been a real blessing for us, in our lives, for all of us, I think. And we can all testify of God's faithfulness and the partnership we have had with all our supporting churches, you included. You have been really good at praying for us and checking if we were okay there, and just your support, we really felt it, and we're very, very grateful for it. We can testify of God's faithfulness, we can testify of God's abundant love, and we truly hope that what we have learned in Chile can be used here as well, so we can be good servants here in this island, reaching others and testifying of our good Lord. Finally, in this picture, you can see the picture at the bottom. I also started a group for ministry wives from different backgrounds, and it was just brilliant to be able to meet together, pray together, and share the different stories of our congregations, and also support our husbands in prayer. And the top one talks a little bit about myself. I love writing. I am not a prolific writer like my father-in-law, but I sometimes contribute to some Spanish websites, and I write from time to time. And I also like writing children's plays and stories, which I use as means to evangelize others, and also for training for the apprentices. So this was the last one that we did in Joshua's school. It was based on Pilgrim's Progress, but I put a bit of football in it because Chileans love football. So we have it was a bit of a musical as well, and I included the whole family. So Joshua was in the audience. David was also playing the violin and helping out with the acting. Daniel was juggling and trying to do a bit of dancing, which was pretty good. and we also had a girl from Ridley, right? She was doing she's studying there, so she was it was a curate placement or something like that. So she comes from another church that supports us. So she came as well. She didn't speak Spanish, but she was very eager just to help in any way. So she was the British lady in my play. And that was just a great, great way to share the gospel with others, and the children are just so receptive. So thank you very much for all your support. Thank you very much for making all this possible as well, because it wouldn't have been, I mean, it's not just us going there. It's all your support here, your prayers, your interest in getting our Lord to be known in other parts of the world.
Now, when we talk about discipleship, it didn't just involve reading the Bible together, opening up, sharing lives, and praying, although that's the place where discipleship started. And we also involved serving in practical ways. So the first couple of years, we had some very big fires in Valparaiso, because it's a very windy city, and the wind blows land, and in the summer it's very dry. And in our first year, I think it was the second month we started the church there, lots of houses burned down. So the picture on the left of us there, being involved rebuilding some houses. A couple of years ago, we started an NGO to work on social projects within the city. And one of the first activities we had was to encourage Christians to foster, because there's not much of a concept of fostering there, although there's a very large need. The lady on the left, Ione, was my church administrator. She worked part-time, and the whole time we were in Valparaiso. And although she's now a grandmother, and she got into the spirit of things, and she was still is fostering a young girl of 4 years old for over a year. On the person on my left is Claudio. He was the curate, and now he's been left as a vicar. He and his wife on the far right, they were fostering a young baby who arrived in terrible condition. And that's one, just one of many different social projects that we were involved in. The other part of discipleship is training. Right from the beginning, we had a very strong emphasis on training. And over our time there, we had five ministerial apprentices. So they were working, studying and working full time, serving in the church. We left six lay ministers in the church. By the time, after 6 years, we've had seven Bible College students. Here's a photograph, that's 2016. 40% of the Bible College students in the Anglican Seminary in San Diego are from our church. And last year, that was 60% of those who graduated were from Iglesia Pablo Apostol. And we're just one of 90 churches in the diocese. We had 8 lay preachers and 20 missional community leaders. And all that emphasis and training helped for what we did right from the beginning. When I started, I thought, well, we've been asked to plant a church, let's just plant a church. And people encouraged me to think not just about planting one church, but beginning to a little movement to start planting other churches. And so, as I said, Claudio, who got ordained last year, he's taking over and he's been the vicar, supported totally by the church. And the other couple you saw, Gabriel and Rebecca, who I'm very pleased to say, St. Lawrence's lecture is going to continue to support them as local partners, local CMS partners, and they're going to be planting a church. They've been living here for quite a while in Playa Ancha. This is the largest hill in Valparaiso. It's got the city's football team, the Santiago Wanderers. There's a name that's funny there, because I always wonder, why is it called Santiago Wanderers? Well, it's not in the capital of Santiago, but in Valparaiso. But apparently the first football team, obviously brought by the English expats, was called Valparaiso Wanderers. So when they had the first Spanish-speaking team, they decided to take the name to the capital, Santiago Wanderers. So that's the name of the team there. And that has over 100,000 people with very few churches there. So that's where they're hoping to be planting from this year. Further up the coast, 10 miles up the coast, there's a whole group of people. We've got 3 missional communities there. People like Ioni, who I've already mentioned, and others are serving there. So we hope in the next 2 or 3 years that there will be a possibility of a church plant there in conjunction with another Anglican church. Top photograph, we try to encourage our church not just to be involved in mission locally, but also overseas. So it took a long time to get this off the ground, but finally last year we took a team out to Bolivia to serve with the church in Santa Cruz in Bolivia. And we've been able to help support and pray and mentor a number of younger church planters from about half a dozen churches from different denominations over the years as well. So that's really, in a nutshell, what we've been doing over the last 6 years in Chile. And I just wanted to echo Eugene's words, because none of this would be possible without you. When we started, when we first went out, we had just 3 supporting churches. Our church back in Harrow, one we're given in Bristol, and yourselves. And we've had visitors from here, from the exchange, who've come out to support us, and lots of prayer and lots of encouragement. And so we're very, very grateful. And really, this is the fruit of your giving and of your prayer and your ministry through us. So thank you very much.
From the Catholic Church, you talk about planting churches. You're in the part of the Anglican setup. What about the Roman Catholic Church? How lovely is it? How do we put a lot of nominal believers, and how do they react to you? What's the situation?
That was about 5 questions. I asked a good deal of questions, one question from all of them. Obviously, the Catholic Church in Latin America is very different to what it is here in England, because in England it's sort of lived under the majority church, which is the Church of England, where there it's been the majority church. And more recently it's been obviously rocked by lots of scandals. And the Pope, who is Argentine, and the Chileans and the Argentines don't always get on well, he came last year and told off and sacked a number of bishops. So it's struggling quite a lot. But obviously there are some Catholics who are very committed to communism, but yes, it's just a nominal, unborn, it's a cultural Catholicism. So they don't really have a deep faith, and often the Bible is unknown to them. I guess here we have lots of people who might call themselves Christian or Protestant because we're in a country that has that heritage, but it doesn't necessarily mean they have a living faith. But there's a deep respect for God, there's an interest in the Bible, and more recently, for a long time Protestants were persecuted by Catholics, but more recently there's been lots more working together, and especially on some of these social issues like abortion, and they've been working sort of hand in hand. I think that answered a few of those.
To follow that up, how did the Anglican Church get established in the first place?
How long have you got? I teach a course in church history in the Bible College of Santiago. Yes, I'd like to say there's sort of three big waves of the Anglicans arriving in South America and in Chile. The first one are the chaplaincy churches. So wherever there were English people, they brought their sports, their football, etc., and they brought their work, and they brought their religion. So lots of people brought the Anglican churches. So wherever up the coast, there were big groups of English people, where they worked the mines, where they're involved in all kinds of different industries, especially in the 19th century, and Anglican churches sprung up. But often it is a very traditional thing. They had no interest in sharing their faith in Spanish, so it was just groups for the English expats. So that was the first wave in sort of the early 19th century. The second wave would be in the countryside, where from about 1895, well, I could digress a bit, Captain Alan Gardner, who started SAM, the South American Mission Society, he arrived in the 50s, and there's a long story there. An encouragement to us as missionaries, because he had 10 trips out to Latin America and didn't see a single person become a Christian and then died of starvation down in Tierra del Fuego. But such was the interest that was raised in England because of that, he and his four companions who died, that the South American Missionary Society started. And that's when the first missions went out. To start with, they didn't work in cities, they just worked with indigenous people, the Mapuche Indians in particular, in the south. And then they went as often as missionaries, but they set up hospitals and schools, and then they worked, and in the south of Chile, there's still a huge number of Anglican churches in rural areas because they're very dedicated to work. And then in the 60s, in the last century, is when they finally started working in the cities. At first, where we are, in Valparaiso, and they started planting churches, and then in the 80s, in Santiago. And those were congregations in Spanish, and we have just one English congregation left in the whole country. All of them have become Spanish-speaking congregations. So that's a bit about the Anglican Church in Chile.
Any other questions? I can pass around the microphone. Give a bit of hand up. Any other questions? Give me about what they've done in Chile, give me about their family, future plans, what they've been doing. Don't be shy.
What would we like to do if we had a choice?
My dad really wants to carry on kind of doing church planting, I think, because there's a bit of a challenge as well, and he's training in ball. I think Dan also wants to do a PhD at some point, keep his brain ticking. but working, I think, with a diversity of people and helping others to get to know Jesus. He really wants to work as a pastor. And that was a real encouragement to us when the children knew that we were coming back. And they asked Daniel, they said, "You're going to carry on being a pastor, right? We want you to carry on planting churches. We want to have another church." So that was brilliant, really, because they were not like fed up or felt that they had taken second place. They were part of the plant. really wanting to do together as a family what we have been doing in Chile. And in a way, the church planting, they became our family there. So for the children, the church is their family. They don't understand the concept that the church is not part of your broader family, because that's what they have learned there. We support and encourage each other.
My real ambition in life is to become like Andrew Simmons.
Okay, any other questions, please?
You talked about having kind of mission, you had others who went out and had mission groups in. That went out. Were they sort of church planting? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
In missional communities?
Yes.
We haven't done anything original, so somewhere I came across the model of missional communities, which works well in Spanish because it's called Unidad Misional, and basically says that groups which want to be communities, and want to be communities on mission together. And so the idea was that they weren't like a traditional home group where we just study the Bible. But they were there to serve in their communities and their neighbourhoods, just being salt and light, and they were evangelistic, so they were to attract new people, and I think I gave them the task of multiplying between 6 months to 2 years. So we don't have groups just go on with internal or inward-looking friendships forever, but be groups that were really concerned with reaching out to other people. And so we started with one, and then we went to two, and by the time we finished, we had about 12 different missional communities. And part of the idea was that if in one place there are three or four, then that could be the nucleus for a new church in the future.
Okay. Other questions, please?
We were also asked at our table what Chilean wine is like. And it's just enough, it's very nice. We were just sharing a story that when we first went out there, we thought that there were lots of groups, perhaps more Baptists and Pentecostals, who don't drink at all. So I thought, I've been drinking for 17 years. Perhaps I was addicted. I never drank in excess. So I stopped drinking for a whole year before we went out. And we arrived there, we met the Archdeacon, and the first thing he said was, red or white? Thank you, Lord, that I'm an Anglican, since the Anglicans can drink. So that was a blessing to be in a country that had wonderful vineyards nearby and enjoy God's good produce.
You've spent the best part of 13 years in Chile. And coming back to this country, what do you see, what strikes you, lessons that you've learnt in Chile, which you think you'd like to pass on here? The secular atmosphere in this country, all sorts of things, any particular things, or in other words, reverse culture shock, coming back into this culture, having been away for most of 13 years. Any comments there?
Well, I thought perhaps kind of some of the issues with transgender and homosexuality, those kind of things were going to be, they're probably more further on rather than in Chile, just starting on kind of those kind of issues there. But I also thought that there was going to be not a lot of interest from people wanting to know about God. And having been in Harrow recently, there's still kind of the need to share the gospel there. There's a different way, I think, because as a society, I think we have become very politically correct. So, as they were saying in school, you can be a Muslim, you can be an atheist, you can be, and everything is okay. So that's it. And perhaps then you go further because you feel that you might offend some people. But what I have seen so far is that if you listen to people and if you just extend friendships towards them and try to really be interested in what they need to say, then they will be interested in what you have to say too. And perhaps it's going to take longer, but those friendships that you start and you becoming a good listener is so much better than just arriving like a really confrontational way. It doesn't work like that anymore. And there is a huge need of people really needing to hear the gospel. I know that they have a hope and that this is not it. This is just the beginning of an adventure with Jesus that can change your life. So, cultural shock, I think it will be more like a challenge, really, to be able to reach those people and to be able to listen, become more of a listener, and stop the rush, enable, really, to serve them well.
Andrew, I've got a question. Yeah. Thank you. Down the legend, I know you've got your boys to think of their education for a while, but would you see a time in the future where you could go abroad again, go overseas again? Is that part of you possible?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
For three different reasons. The first one was to do with we've kind of done what we've been asked to do by the bishop. So we could have stayed, and if we had stayed, then we probably would have stayed for the rest of our lives. And in a way, we've done what they asked us. We were asked to plant a church and leave it in a good hands and with children and leaders. And so we've done that. In second place, the Diocese of Chile last year became the 40th Anglican province. So that has four dioceses. So in a way, it's much more self-sufficient. It's sort of stepped up a level. And we were the last, I was the last missionary pastor or vicar there. And thirdly, there's education. And if we'd left it longer, it would just been that much more difficult. As it is, Joshua is in just coming to year six, so he finishes off primary school, and then he's just coming in time for GCSEs. Yes, we'd be here at least until our children, I presume, get to university. Whether we'll stay afterwards or go back, so my preparations and studies will be focused on Latin America and having a language, and probably see what God's going to open up for us here as well. So I've gone everywhere else, but yes, I'll go for 1 year or I'll go for 5 years. I've always ended up at least twice as long in that place. And so who knows what God has in store for us.
Any more questions? In that case, I think it would be really worthwhile to say a huge big thank you to Daniel Edgeland for speaking tonight. So, shall we show a round of applause?